Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us. We're live worldwide on CUTV News Radio. This is Jim Masters. A pleasure to have you with us today as we are continuing our exclusive series and conversation with Dr. Victoria Monlock. She is a practicing physician with over 30 years of experience specializing in women's health, family medicine, and preventative health and wellness. An OBGYN by training. Today, Dr. Monlock describes herself as a wellness physician partnering with her patients to deliver the best health care possible. According to Dr. Monlock, the foundation of health is hormonal balance, which traditional Western medicine too often ignores, overlooks, or outright dismisses. Dr. Monlock says hormones should be the first thing we examine. Her shift in approach is that she feels nobody addresses or educates the adolescent. They are the forgotten females, so many physicians don't take the time to educate them or their mothers. But who else is going to teach a young girl who just had her first period about hormones? Where is this teaching going to come from? That's why Dr. Monlock wrote Blossoming, Becoming a Woman, an owner's manual for the transition from young adult to womanhood. Blossoming offers mothers and daughters the groundbreaking truth about becoming a woman that they won't find on the internet. Very honored to welcome back to CUTV News Radio Live our very special guest, Victoria Monlock. She is an award-winning doctor, and she is an amazing individual, very empathetic, compassionate, and she cares about all of her patients, and she has a record of success that is really outstanding. So it's an honor to have her here with us on CUTV News Radio Live exclusively for our continuing series. Dr. Monlock, thanks for joining us once again. A pleasure to have you with us. Welcome back to the show today.
Thank you very much, Jim. Pleasure to be back.
Oh, you are very, very welcome. We want to dive right in. We're still focusing on the adolescent. Is it true that male hormones are also made as well? And we're talking predominantly, of course, about the adolescent female. And what happens when there is too much testosterone? Now, you and I were just chatting. I don't even think a lot of people realize that testosterone is also made in females as well.
It is, and it's shocking when most women hear that. Their head kind of snaps back, like, what do you mean I make testosterone? Is that why I get angry sometimes and lash out in a conversation? Well, it's never just that quick, but we do have an appropriate amount of testosterone that we make, but there is also an age-appropriate amount that we make. And then, of course, that just begs the question, could there be age-inappropriate amounts of testosterone that we make? So, of course, the way I ask the question, you can tell the answer is yes. There are times when we make too much testosterone, and sometimes that imbalance of too much male with too little female is because we make too little female. That's an interesting thought, but sometimes it's actually genetic that we make more male hormone than we should. And that's a specific condition that we'll get to as we go forward. But in the adolescent female, it's primarily that we don't have puberty yet until age 12 and a half is the average age in the U.S. And so until we actually have female hormones starting up in the body, we are still making testosterone. So we're driven mostly by testosterone in our prepubertal years. So when we start that machinery of ovary starting up to make female hormone, it also makes more male hormone with it. So that's when hormone balancing really starts and can get out of balance early. Now, many women have that hormone balance start up, and it's fairly balanced in the beginning. But the better or more common picture is that we get ups and downs in how much female hormone is made in the beginning. So with the ups and downs of female, certainly the male is going to almost be an exact opposite of what the female is doing. Let me explain that. When female hormone goes up, it will actually, like a teeter-totter, drive male hormone production down. But when you have a month where you make less female hormone, then the male hormone production increases almost as a compensatory reaction to too little female. Then it seems as if your body is looking at the fact that we have to have a certain amount of female plus male hormone around. So if there's too little female, let's make more male. Or if there's enough female, we don't need to make as much male. And so it's its own balance of female-male hormone, and that has to fit in the whole balance of what our body's total hormone balance is all about. But right now, talking about male hormone, realize that those numbers are going to be the amount your body is going to make, plus there's going to be a reactionary or a reactive amount that your body will make in reaction to how much female hormone you make.
And then there's acne.
So what are some of the things that can happen when there's too much male hormone around? For all of us that have a teenage daughter, we've all heard the scream from upstairs in the bathroom in the morning before school, and your daughter comes running out, and, "I can't go to school today. Look," and she's pointing to her chin, and there is a great big blossom on her chin. "I can't go to school. I'm embarrassed. I can't cover this up. This is so horrible." And all you can do is kind of smile and go, "Well, sweetheart, that's part of becoming an adolescent, part of becoming a woman. I hate this." We can all put our own spin on what our daughters have gone through. And for many, it's a onesie, twosie. It's sometimes, you know, the whole chin is involved for those very unlucky few who may also have a genetic condition like polycystic ovary, or there's a separate skin condition like rosacea. Those adolescents may actually not have the superficial hormonal acne that's a onesie, twosie. It's gone in a couple of days if you put a little topical antibiotic on it. And make sure you wash your face every day. But those with other medical conditions can actually get a thicker sebum or secretion that your skin glands make, and it traps bacteria, and then you get more of the cystic acne or boil that can happen on a face. And those are much more difficult to work with and usually require a medical intervention to happen. But acne is many times one of the first things that happens, and every mother, father of a teenage girl knows exactly how traumatic that can be to them.
Absolutely. And the guys, too, sometimes. they see you in acne and it's, "Oh, gee, what has happened here?" Especially, you know, teenage years
and
that we're talking about.
Correct. And they can get the more cystic, deeper acne as well. And that's with their hormone swings that are starting with them. And, you know, many times that trip to the pediatrician is going to be because of acne. And the as we've mentioned prior, pediatrician's office knows, okay, we can use a little topical antibiotic for that, and maybe that will take care of it. Or we know that birth control pill can help control acne, so we'll try you on the pill. But there are many women who, A, don't want their daughters on a birth control pill or the topical antibiotic, and a regular face washing regimen may not quite do the trick. And so they're faced with what else can I do? And many times those busy moms with busy daughters and sports and trying to stay with, you know, good grades in school and don't want to take a lot of time off of school, their next thought is, well, I want to hit this hard. I don't want to be back here dealing with this again. So many times the route that they think is the next best route is a medication that is actually a category X, which is a fraught with potential birth defects if that medication is in a woman's system, that it can, it's called Accutane, and it's something that's very, very good at getting rid of acne, but if it's hormonal, there are many a time that a woman is put through an 8-month course of an Accutane, their face will clear at the end of 8 months. Guess what? Everything comes right back because we haven't learned to balance the hormones back. And so the male hormone level is likely never even checked. So they don't even realize that it's a hormone imbalance causing the acne. They simply think, we'll do another run of Accutane. Well, medicine thinks that they know what a category X medication in 8 months stored in a body can do, but we really don't know. We know we have people that have been on it in the past, sometimes as much as 20 years, and their children down the road have not had issues with birth defects. But is that still a medication that you would jump to with your daughter? And they have to mandatorily be on a birth control pill when they're put on that medication. So I will share with you, I have patients that their daughters have been on Accutane 3 courses, and their acne is still returning. Well, if it didn't work the first time and it came back, it didn't work the second time and it came back, and you're doing it the third time, then guess what? It is quite likely that it's going to come back. So maybe there's another issue at play, and my statement is, why don't we look for the root cause, which is, where's the hormone imbalance? And if it truly is in too much male hormone, the pill is not the only answer. And that always surprises people. There is a way that we can treat excess testosterone, and it's actually with a medication that's been around since about the 1960s to 1970s, and it's a medication that was originally developed as a blood pressure medication. So when moms hear that, they go, oh, no, no, my daughter's got low blood pressure, then we don't need that medication. Well, it wasn't a very good blood pressure medication. So it really was not used for blood pressure reasons. What we found is that it's a marvelous way to drop testosterone. So the medication will have a small impact on blood pressure because it has a water pill in it, but it has its main impact by dropping testosterone levels. So I usually will share with my patients and their mom, would you rather take a risk on a category X medication that may have implications for you down the road, that you may have acne returning, or should we check your levels, see if your male hormone is too elevated and out of balance with your female, and trial this medication that's been around since the 60s or 70s that has very minimal risk to you and can actually help solve the root cause.
Then there's weight gain, too. That's another result, abnormal weight gain. And obviously, cutting a meal doesn't work. So what's a girl supposed to do about that? I mean, diet, and when that doesn't work, sometimes it leads to things like bulimia or over-exercising, anorexia. I mean, it's easy to hide if an adolescent is an athlete, but if they can't hide it, then they may experience things like bullying, not fitting in, having willpower, sort of giving up and retreating. A lot of different things that can happen, right?
Right. And, you know, abnormal weight, and what is the number? Everybody focuses on what is the number that your weight is and how much is in the fad magazines and the celebrity magazines about this special diet or that special diet. And if you can just do a 30 days of this, cutting out everything except one or two foods, you will have this miracle transformation of your body and you will feel good and the sun will rise again in the morning. It's never that simple, but diet is a four-letter word to a woman, regardless of adolescence. It is the bane of every woman's existence. Is can I fit into that little black dress or can I get my jeans on? You know, is it that time of the month and I just can't pull those favorite jeans up? And really in the adolescent, it's deeper than that. Again, think hormone swing. And if your body isn't getting the same hormone message 1 month to the next, meaning if 1 month you're more female balanced, the next month you're more male, then those genes aren't going to fit 1 month to the next month. And guess what? It's not because you're eating wrong or because you're not exercising, although most of us don't like exercise, so we can kind of all get blamed for that. But it's really, where are your hormones? So if there's a pattern of weight going on, that proper balanced diet, proper exercise isn't keeping a weight under control, then that's the time to look deeper. And there's a case study that I'll kind of break to mention here because it brings home the story that I'm trying to talk about. I had a patient that when she was in high school, she was a star athlete. She was on her high school swimming team. And she really was quite successful and finished high school, went on to college, and when she hit college, she wasn't swimming, but just going to class, she packed 45 pounds on in a semester. And she, you know, her mother called first with this story, and then she brought the daughter in. And the daughter is telling me this story of, Doc, I was an elite swimmer. I know how to exercise. When the weight started going on, I hit the pool, and everything that used to work in the past now suddenly isn't working. So I actually went on birth control pills to see if that would do it. It must be that my hormones are wrong. So put on the pill, but her weight gain continued. It didn't even arrest. It continued. And then she started getting other symptoms that went along with it, like growing extra hair above her lip and losing hair on top of her head. She'd wash her head and have handfuls of hair in her hand and in the drain. So when her mom brought her in, these are all classic symptoms of a syndrome that actually is a woman making too much male hormone, not just the month-to-month variation of balance of more male this month, more female the next month. This was actually the beginnings in this patient of a genetic manifestation of something called polycystic ovary. Now, that syndrome, we think of an ovary that makes a cyst, and that a cyst is a bad thing. Well, in the scheme of how an ovary works, it will make 2 cysts every month, but they're small. They're under an inch, or what we call 3 centimeters, 2.5 centimeters. And the first cyst develops to let the egg develop, that then ovulates halfway through a cycle. Then that cyst reforms its wall, and it starts to make the second female hormone, progesterone. So every cycle, an ovary will make 2 normal physiologic cysts, okay? But a polycystic ovary has lots of very small cysts in it. So when you look by an ultrasound, you don't see lots of big cysts, like big balls hanging off of an ovary. You see hundreds of little tiny, less than a quarter inch diameter cysts. And it's those hundreds of little cysts that are actually making testosterone in a woman. So what our star swimmer had early in her adolescent career, she was able to make equal female and male until she made too many of the small cysts that make the testosterone. But what happened in early college, 18, 19, is her testosterone production took over and her weight gain went the charts. So no fad diet was going to work. Thankfully, she did not turn to putting her finger down her throat or bulimia to make herself expel her contents of food. She already knew how to properly exercise. She couldn't exercise more than she already had done, but this was a classic case of, I'm doing everything right. What's wrong here? And until she got her hormone levels checked, nobody would tumble to the fact that this is actually a more male hormone production than female. So when you make too much male, you literally, like that teeter-totter, drive down the female hormone production.
You talked about attitude and aggressive behavior and excess hair to the upper lip or chin. Those are just some of the other results of too much testosterone as well, right?
Exactly. And the star swimmer did start getting the excess hair to her upper lip. She was plucking it, which can only bring back more hair and thicker and darker hair, but she was also losing hair on the top of her head, just like males with too much or an abnormal balance of testosterone will lose hair on the top of their head. So when we talk about attitude or aggressive behavior, then realize PMS in extreme, which we have always said PMS is too little progesterone, can also mean there is, by definition, if progesterone or female is low, too much male hormone. So an aggressive tendency may be that somebody asks you a question and you snap the answer back at them. And then in your mind, you think, why did I just do that? That person didn't deserve that answer. Or you snap that answer back at them, and then suddenly you find yourself crying because, I didn't mean to say that. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I hurt your feelings? Well, you've done the damage with the snappy answer. So that may not necessarily be that you're just not liking that person, or because that's usually in a group of friends, the way that will be taken is the group think, I call it, of an adolescent group of friends is that you need to fit in. And if you don't fit in with your group of friends and maybe say everything that the group of friends is saying, then you're an outlier and you're the perfect one for the group to now pick on, because that gives the group, and therefore you as part of the group, gives you a sense of power and a sense of belonging to that group, even though you may have just done something that's been very negative, potentially even very damaging if it happens day after day. That picking on a person in your group may actually develop into bullying somebody and excluding that person from your group, or not allowing that person to be a part of your group, and that group think now may actually be the beginnings of bullying somebody because you're different.
See? Yeah, all the results of too much testosterone. So what do we do if somebody does, if a young adolescent female is found to have too much testosterone? How does somebody, as an expert as you are, work with that?
Well, the first thing we can do is, of course, check levels. And that's first and foremost. I never make an assumption that if somebody walks in and they have chin acne, oh, you must have too much testosterone. Let's just start this medication to drop your testosterone level, this spironolactone. I always explain what hormone balance is, and I always check levels, because knowledge is power. And until you have the numbers in front of you, you don't know what those numbers are. I tell my patients all the time, if you want me to guess, I actually dropped my crystal ball in the parking lot on the way in. So I'm not going to guess. I'm actually going to be scientific about it, and I'm going to draw blood levels, because your insurance will pay for this. They will allow us to draw your blood levels, and let's find out, because knowledge is power. And if your testosterone levels are out of proportion and are elevated, then a trial of spironolactone is very much the next step and very much appropriate to drop testosterone levels. So how do we know if it worked? We're going to repeat blood testing, which again is going to be covered by insurance, and we're going to prove that either a low dose is going to work, or maybe we have to raise the dose and go to a medium dose, or in some very unlucky people who have that genetic polycystic ovary, sometimes we have to go to a higher dose. But again, if it's something that is part of normal female-male balance, it may be a very short term that an adolescent girl has to deal with something like chin acne and a medication like spironolactone. But that's a much better option with much fewer consequences than having a Category X Accutane put into our daughters that may have implications down the road and may not actually be going after the root cause.
Absolutely. We're talking with Dr. Victoria Monlock, and her website is Victoria J. Monlock. I'll spell that, M-O-N-D-L-O-C-K. And then the letters MDSC.com. Victoria J. Monlock, MDSC.com. She is also the author of Blossoming, Becoming a Woman, an Owner's Manual for the Transition from Young Adult to Womanhood. Blossoming offers mothers and daughters the groundbreaking truth about becoming a woman that they won't find elsewhere, especially the internet. Dr. Monlock, always a pleasure. You'll be back next week to continue our exclusive and fascinating and insightful series. And we thank you for being with us today. It was a pleasure. Thanks for sharing all this great information with our audience today.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you, Doctor. Our very special guest, Dr. Victoria Monlock, OBGYN by training, and she is incredible. She's a practicing physician with over 30 years of experience. Jim Masters here. For all of us at TV News Radio, thank you for joining us as well. Stay tuned. More great shows coming up right here. Till then, have a great day.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.